As we all wish each other a happy new year, we're finding ourselves wondering, what will the new year bring us? And that's certainly true as we think about politics in Michigan. And that means it's time to turn to our It's Just Politics team of Zoe Clark and Rick Pluta to help us look ahead through these next 12 months. So I want to start with what you see as the biggest political story for Michigan in 2018. Zoe, take it first.
Well, we are only on day two of 2018, but I think it is going to be something that happens in November. And that, of course, is election 2018, when just in Michigan alone, voters will go to the polls to vote for a new governor, lieutenant governor, secretary of state, attorney general, the entire state senate, the entire state house, and of course, all 14 members of Michigan's congressional delegation.
Boom. Rick, got anything to top that?
How about those apples?
I think I'll just sort of tee off on that. I think the big political story is going to be whether or not we see a wave and in what direction and what that means and how things have developed in Michigan, in the state that is widely perceived as being key to making Donald Trump president of the United States in defiance of expectations.
And this idea of, is Michigan this kind of purple state? Is it now going to be a red state? Is it going to go back to a little bit of its blueness? And what does that mean for this, you know, Midwest state that was a huge part of the Trump win in 2016?
So Zoe, how could President Trump's popularity and unpredictability affect, let's start with the race for governor, first for the Democrats?
Well, I think for those folks who read the Washington Post today, there was a really interesting article in which Gretchen Whitmer, who is running to be the Democratic nominee here in Michigan, is talked about. And in that article, they mention that 79 women, 49 Democrats, 30 Republicans are thinking about it or have already jumped in to run for governor across the country. Mm. And so I think the idea of women coming out, not just because of the Me Too movement, but also because of some of the statements that this president has made about women. We've seen women's marches last year. There's more coming up. And so what does that look like for female candidates? I think it's going to be really interesting to watch and how Trump, you know, plays into that.
Indeed. And what about his effect on Republican candidates? I mean, we've seen Attorney General Bill Schuette pretty closely aligning his campaign so far with the president, but others not so much.
Indeed. I mean, you've got Bill Schuette, Attorney General, talking about Trump tweeting his support for him, given he spelled Schuette's name wrong the first time, but then they had him do it over again to spell it correctly. I think for Republicans, not just in Michigan, but all across the country in 2018, it is going to be a how close do you get to Trump? Mm. And what does that look like for you?
Rick, where do you see the battle lines drawing for this upcoming governor's election?
Well, you know, it almost seems like on the Republican side that it's becoming kind of a proxy battle. MLive did a story that it was kind of a proxy battle between Trump Republicans and Snyder Republicans. But if you look at the people who are actually engaged and employed by both teams, it's almost like a proxy battle between the Trump Republicans and the John Kasich Republicans. And I don't think we can overstate the importance of primaries in this cycle on either side, that if you look at the kind of governor that a Bill Schuette would be versus a Brian Kelly, I think you're looking at some pretty substantive policy differences in the same way that I think that you would see a difference between, say, Gretchen Whitmer as governor versus an Abdul El Sayed as governor. Not that those are the only candidates in either of those races.
But Rick, I think what you said about this idea of primaries really is so interesting, because more and more in the past election cycles, we see what happens is these candidates, particularly in the Republican side, go very, very, very conservative in the primaries because, well, who turns out to vote?
Those
who are passionate, yes, and faithful. And then in the general have to decide, do
they
you stay to the right? Mm. Do you tack to be more moderate to try to pick up some of the independents? And you know, looking at how that works is going to be fascinating with Trump behind the scenes and all of
this. Well, two things about that. I think the question is, will Donald Trump and the public's feelings about the performance of the president in Congress in D.C., how will that drive turnout? Mm-hmm. And I mean that in both the Republican and the Democratic sides, because as Zoe just pointed out, that it used to be primary elections were sort of a run to the right and a run to the left, and then candidates would tack to the center. Remember Mitt Romney and the Etch-a-Sketch statement that they were going to, you know, completely reshape the campaign after the primary? Well, elections now are really built on turnout. And just who's inspired to get out and vote based often on ideology, you know, what they believe.
Rick, you think we'll see any surprise candidates in the governor's race, perhaps a certain mayor of Detroit?
Well,
you've left him speechless. And he's speechless. There's a first time for everything.
The window is closing. If Mike Duggan is actually going to get in, and I know that there are a lot of people who are still looking for alternatives, many of them are casting their eyes to Mike Duggan. Macomb County Executive Mark Hackle would also like people to be casting their eyes towards him, but he's been, you know, such a lackadaisical Democrat that I think that's a tough sell. But even at this stage of the game, if Mike Duggan decided to get in January or February, it would create just a primary bloodbath with people going at each other hammer and tong. And so that's why I think that he probably decides to sit it out.
And I don't know if I would have said this 6 months ago, 8 months ago, but let's also look at what that would look like, right? That narrative of here is a strong woman who's worked in the legislature for 12 years running, and then to have a man come in, you know, at the final minute and go, you haven't been able to kind of finish the deal. I'm coming in to save you, Democrats. And I just wonder, would that suddenly become a narrative? Again, I don't think I would have said that 8 months ago, 6 months ago.
I was
going to
say,
in any other
period, Zoe, I would quibble with you on that. But I think in this particular moment, you're probably right.
In Michigan's lone Senate race, Zoe, there are some Republicans who've signed up to take on incumbent Debbie Stabenow. Who's got the best chance of beating her?
Well, you know what? Right now, this is where I just think it's too early. Mm-hmm. Name ID is very low in this race. And some of this just is because Debbie Stabenow is a powerhouse as a candidate. She's got money. As a Democrat, she's sort of found inroads into the Agriculture Committee, who sometimes in West Michigan tend to go more Republican. So really, this is sort of, I think, already shaping up to be another kind of, I don't want to say sacrificial lamb for Republicans, but it's going to be some heavy lifting for John James. He is running. He is a newcomer to the political scene in Michigan. And then we've also got a former Supreme Court Justice of Michigan running as well. So it's going to be interesting, but again, very, very early days for that race.
Rick, as far as the congressional races, Rick, we've got some open seats with, you know, resignations and retirements and Dave Trott deciding I've had enough. So what are you going to watch on that front?
Well, I think one of the things that we're watching is whether or not the Trott seat, now that it's open, turns out to be competitive. And the big loser, I think, in that particular drama is Gretchen Driscoll, who is mounting a campaign against incumbent Tim Walberg. And they're hoping that in a good Democratic year that she can take him out. A lot of the resources that might be going to that race, I think, are now going to be going to fighting over the Trott seat.
Mm-hmm. And Mike Bishop's seat as well. And again, Cindy, this goes to just how much of a wave does it feel like for Democrats? We saw that in Michigan in 6. We saw it even stronger in 08. But then a lot of these seats swung back in 10, stayed with Republicans in 12 and 14 and 16. And so, again, this goes back to my kind of earlier statement about, you know, what color does Michigan turn or get darker or change?
And how do you think all that is going to affect what the state legislature is going to do this year, knowing that this big moment of reckoning is happening in 11 months?
Well, a lot of what the legislature is going to be doing is, first of all, dealing with Governor Rick Snyder's final year in office and what he wants to get done. But we're going to be very, very influenced by what's going on in Washington, that there's probably going to be state activity to deal with the new tax law. You know, Michigan is one of the places that has a state income tax, and so there are ramifications there. The legislature is probably going to want to somehow deal with that. that, otherwise dealing with angry constituents. Opioid crisis, there's a federal component of that. And I think that really Washington is going to be setting the agenda for Lansing in many respects this year.
Well, certainly it's going to be a year to watch. And I know we'll be checking in with both of you very, very regularly. Zoe Clark, Rick Pluta, our It's Just Politics team. Thanks so very much.
Thanks, Cindy.
Happy New Year.